Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Step right up and see the worst year ever. This didn't go well.
Katie.
I literally recoiled as I did it and I lost all confidence.
I put my arms up in celebration.
Oh, I thought you were recoiling in horror. I hurt your eardrums.
I want to note here that Katie is welcoming gentlemen. I am not. I do not support acknowledging or letting gentlemen listen to our podcast.
Mm-hmm. Only trash pandas. What is
trash pandas, agender, parakeets, literally anything
Absolutely.
But gentlemen.
I did not acknowledge any of them in this intro, but that goes without saying, one would assume.
But I think we also need to forbid gentlemen from listening. Yeah.
Is it no gentlemen or no men? Like, are you
no gentlemen? No.
Acro men are okay, or like
pieces of shit men? Absolutely.
Okay.
This is very pro pieces of shit podcast.
Safe space for aggressive men.
Oh, for sure.
If you're a fuck boy, if you're a garbage person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bring me your poor, your tired, your fuckboys yearning to hear a summary of the day's news.
Also, reply guys welcome as well.
Absolutely. Well, you can't
except,
keep them
except
out.
the gentle ones.
Yeah, not the gentlemen reply boys.
No, and, none of the meat. Yeah. Stuff.
But if you're a huge shithead, welcome aboard.
Pile on.
Well, we've killed 2.5 minutes.
I know. We're already 80% of the way through the podcast. I'm going to check out it now.
How are you guys doing?
You know.
I never, ever ask. On our other show, I always ask everybody how they're doing, and it's like a nice moment of connection potentially, but never do we do that here.
Yeah, no. We know.
Doing bad.
There's no point. How's the new show going, guys?
Horrible.
Yeah. You're regretting it?
Oh, wow. God, absolutely.
Yeah, big mistake.
I was thinking that today.
I actually love our other show, even though it's a horrendous amount of work.
I was brushing my teeth going, oh, God, Sophie and Robert are already working, you know, earlier today.
To be fair, Robert was probably not already working, but I was.
No, I barely work. I just come on half-assed and wait for Sophie and Garrison and Christopher to do things, and then I extract their surplus value and turn it into a waterbed.
Ooh, okay, how big is that waterbed?
Robert, you refrained from mentioning this 5 minutes ago when Cody was asking advice for mattresses.
Yeah, mm-hmm. What?
You've been holding out.
What do you got, Cody? You want a waterbed? I can give you advice on getting a waterbed.
Sure, how big?
Biggest.
How much work do I have to do to maintain it?
More than a normal bed.
That sounds like a lot.
it is more than a normal bed. Look, that's the thing about water beds. They're not normal beds. You got to put conditioner in them. There's a pump. What? Now, if it's a soft side water bed, this is the benefit, Cody. The soft side water beds, your pets are very unlikely to break because there's like a mattress over the top. Now, if it's a hard side waterbed, that sounds more durable, but the top is basically just the big bloop, 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 bloop water
thing.
Right,
it's gonna get punctured
pretty easily. They can get through that. It's still pretty thick plastic, but yeah, it's much easier to puncture.
You actually have a waterbed? Well,
one day.
Okay.
I aspire to own a waterbed.
Waterbed is something that I've heard about and never seen in person or touched or known anybody.
You've never seen a waterbed?
Oh, they're rad. When I was a kid, my aunt and uncle, who lived with us intermittently because the economy, you know?
Sure,
the economy.
Yeah.
They kept their waterbed in our garage, and I would get on it all the time because it fucking ruled.
Okay.
Yeah.
All I know about waterbed is you can't rent with one. You have to You can't rent
with
one.
You can.
There's all sorts of you have to sign a waiver or there's a bunch of renter restrictions for waterbeds.
Rent.
Yeah.
That's why you find a landlord who's a criminal and a criminal who's scared of the police, not a criminal who doesn't have to be scared. You find yourself the right kind of slumlord and you can have a waterbed.
Fair enough.
We should talk about the news, shall we?
Yeah.
Never heard
Speaking
of
slumlords.
Like, Katie, yep. wait, Katie, Cody, how are you guys?
Fine.
All right.
I don't feel well today.
Yeah. This is
because
like
you're looking
Monday
to get a bed?
Nah, sore throat, headache and stuff.
Is today not Monday?
It's not, but it could be.
I am livid.
What are days?
At this news.
I think that in general, I'll speak for Cody and myself. I don't know. Cody's mentioned a headache. I'll just touch on the general feeling that I feel. Whoa, that's going into a different territory. My throat feels great. But in
good for you.
I do feel a continuing sense of ennui from a lot of people, just general fatigue. I think better than this time last year in that at least the president isn't literally a monster. Well,
what?
Depends on how you're looking at it.
He's not suggesting we nuke the hurricane.
He's not on Twitter. Let's be honest about the main difference.
I can't believe I said that and thought, no.
He is not on Twitter.
Not on
to
Twitter.
The same extent.
And when he is, all it is just pictures of him walking.
Mm-hmm. Dude,
you guys get my point though. Yes. You know, that's the difference here. But I feel tired. I'm happy to see you guys though. Anyway, we really should talk about the news and then circle back around on whether or not the president is a monster.
So you want to talk about the news so fucking much. What's in the news?
Well, the war in Afghanistan for the US is over.
Did we win?
Well, Cody, you know, what is a win?
90% of Americans that want to leave out of the country, is that a win?
It's
an A minus or a B plus.
I'd say it's a B.
Middle school gym teacher explained that just by playing, you're a winner. And I think that's how the war in Afghanistan worked. You know?
We got a participation trophy.
If you consider Purple Hearts a participation trophy, there's another.
I don't know if I do or not, but
I mean, you definitely participated.
Yeah.
Or you're
that's
Navy SEAL in Iraq who
step,
stabbed
right?
himself and tried to get one, but he didn't get one, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Look, it's a weird mix of things because for the first time in I don't know, somebody I know posted like for the first time in my life I woke up and the U.S. isn't at war, and I guess I don't really think that's technically true.
I saw that. That's
because
not
we're still
great.
We're still all over the place, right?
We're all over the place.
I mean,
we have active wars that we're participating in right now.
But for the first time in my adult life, we're not at war in Afghanistan. That does
I
seem
guess
fair to
technically,
say.
Technically, although we are threatening retaliations, etc.
Oh no, we did it. We killed 10 children with a or 6 children
know,
with a missile.
I know, but
we're good.
It will be an ongoing thing anyway.
Right, like to be
clear, they're talking about it.
There's a lot more kids in Afghanistan. So.
Got to target those kids.
Well, the troops, like we are out of Afghanistan. The drones get to stay. Like
the drones get to stay.
Well, the drones are never out of anywhere.
The war stays. We have left.
Our proxies remain. Yeah.
But that's right. That's a participation trophy worthy accomplishment.
We're being very flip right now, talking a truly horrific situation, as we expected it to be, and. You guys, Robert, you walk us through some of the stuff that's happened in the past week, maybe.
Oh, I don't know. We started pulling people out. We airlifted, I don't know, I think Biden's claiming 120,000 people in the space of about a week out of Afghanistan. While we were doing that, we kept about 5,500 troops, mostly centered around the Kabul airport, working with the Taliban to provide security. The Islamic State in Khorasan carried out an attack a few days ago on the airport that killed 13 U.S. soldiers. And, well, we don't know how many civilians died just from the Islamic State and Khorasan's attack, because certainly dozens. But once they set off their bombs and started, there was also somebody firing, like with a rifle. U.S. troops responded, and a number, we don't really know the number, but a number, potentially a very significant number, of the civilians who were killed by U.S. soldiers, potentially just kind of panic firing into the crowd. And there's certainly a lot of allegations of that. There's not open source information yet that I've been able to see to kind of verify to a hard extent, like exactly what happened, but there's a lot of reports. It'll probably be years before we get any kind of comprehensive, like if we're looking at kind of Nisar Square, any of the other times where U.S. soldiers killed a bunch of civilians, it will probably be years before we get kind of a comprehensive information about how many civilians were killed by U.S. troops in that. But like a lot, you know, a lot of Afghan civilians died overall as a result of the attack. In the United States, of course, what matters is the Americans who died, who are you're seeing a mix of them being lionized and this being spun up into, you know, Benghazi 2.0.
Yeah,
these are the first U.S. soldiers who have died in Afghanistan in a while that anybody on the right is talking about, because we just kind of ignored it for years and years, which is cool. That's just the way everything works. I don't know. That's anyway. But we like yesterday, the last troops left. The last guy out was a major general, I believe, with the 82nd Airborne. So, yeah, there's no more U.S. troops in Afghanistan for the first time in my adult life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in some people's lives.
Yeah, in some people's whole life. In some of these soldiers who died in that attack's lives. Yeah, and a significant number of the children, well, all of the children who were killed in the retaliatory airstrike that we carried out.
Yeah, babies or not born yet.
Mm-hmm.
Biden gave a speech today about
it. He did. Let's talk about that.
He's doing a job at speaking.
He's called it a success.
We love words, folks.
It's weird hearing, I guess, a president use terms like forever war, which he did a couple times. I don't know. It's like adopting language at the appropriate time. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I feel about that. He said we succeeded in what we set out to do in Afghanistan over a decade ago.
No.
We stayed for another decade. And it was time to end the war. Yeah.
How?
I think what he's referring to is Osama bin Laden dying, right?
Yes, that happened a long time
that
ago.
That happened in, I think, May of 2011. So technically over a decade ago.
I guess. Yeah.
Like, technically.
Yeah, that guy's dead.
I think that's what he's referring to. But, like, I think it's important to always remember that the Taliban offered to give up Osama bin Laden in 2001. Yes. George W. Bush, the president at the time, said, no, we're going to keep bombing you and we're going to go get him. And then the war happened for 20 years. They offered to give him up. And we said no.
Right.
He wants to deal with that shit, you know?
He wants to negotiate
with terrorists, Cody. Robert,
isn't that what we just did?
Yes, I was joking.
I see.
Now, Robert, I don't know. I keep throwing to you because you obviously know the most about the region and all of these things of the people present, not in the world. So the attacks at the airport.
Yep.
We're from ISIS-K, not from the Taliban.
Well, from the Islamic State in Khorasan. ISIS is the Islamic... It can't be ISIS-K because ISIS is the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, or Iraq and al-Sham. Yeah.
This is just what people I was reading. And I need to talk to Robert to clarify.
Yeah,
this for
and
for
people
our
who are saying that are incorrect. It's the Islamic State in Khorasan province.
You'll start seeing IS-K more, I think.
Yeah, IS-K is fine. Yeah. ISKP.
Okay.
They are. So back in the day, actually, the organization that ISIS evolved out of was Al-Qaeda in Iraq, which was run by a little motherfucker you might have known called Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, who is the author of a book called The Management of Savagery that is kind of the blueprint of behind ISIS and a number of other terrorist groups. Zarqawi was killed back in the mid-aughts before ISIS ever came around. But ISIS kind of his group is one of the things they evolved out of. It was called Al-Qaeda in Iraq, Al-Qaeda didn't like Zarqawi, and it was kind of like a tense situation between them, and there were some disavowals. You know, it was one of those things where they would kind of accept his you know, claiming a relationship with them when he was doing stuff that they liked, and not when he was doing stuff that they didn't. But it was very like they disagreed on a lot, and the reason he was just kind of had a group and called it Al-Qaeda in Iraq. The Islamic State affiliate groups, because there's others outside of Khorasan, it is more like that than I think what people are picturing, which is that like there's some central ISIS leadership carrying out all of these shadowy occupations and attacks around the globe. And no, ISKP is, it would be better to view them as a separate but affiliated group from the folks in Iraq and Syria that we spent a couple of years assisting in the fight against. And there's a number of similarities, particularly in tactics they embrace, in the specific kind of radical Islam that they embrace. But it is not like there's some centralized leadership running ISIS operations all around. It's more like an affiliate kind of thing where they're like, OK, well, this is good branding to have, you know. Mm-hmm. And ISKP franchise has been around for like a couple of years at this point. And in fact, last year under President Trump, the United States started carrying out strikes in support of the Taliban in their fight against ISKP. So we have been, Biden was in office, we have been aiding the Taliban fighting these guys.
Yeah, we love that shit.
We love that shit. It always just gets stupider and stupider every war we get into. So that's obviously.
What if we arm everybody and then we arm everybody else and then it just never ends?
Yeah, then we'll
that's
have
what
peace.
We've been doing, right?
Peace
yeah, we'll keep
in
doing
our
it.
Time.
Well, that's how you get peace, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody has a gun.
If everybody's dead, that's how you.
I mean,
get
that's
no more war.
That's what people always say is cool about empires is that they make a desert and call it peace, and that's sweet.
Mm-hmm. And we like it. We like that about it.
We love it, folks. You know, I don't know. It's silly how it's gone because now, like, we're getting out of Afghanistan. The Taliban is stronger than they've ever been. They're talking about how they want positive relationships with the U.S. We relied on them in the end in order to help maintain the security situation.
Yeah, they helped. They did like escort missions, right?
They did escort missions.
Stuff,
like... Yeah, we had them, and they, you know, if you look at videos of Taliban fighters who were kind of like taking these abandoned U.S. facilities, like they all look like U.S. soldiers because they're all wearing the same gear because it's like good, effective, you know, gear, but it's also kind of a style thing. And it's just that this is how war works. It's really dumb a lot of the time.
A couple things I wanted your thoughts on. One, I mean, I guess we've talked about this at times, just all the equipment and stuff that we left behind.
It's a lot less than it's being talked about. People are throwing out the number 88 billion, which is like the total number of military aid we gave the Afghan National Army, which included salaries, which obviously, yeah, the Taliban did get some of that because of all the corruption, but like that's not armaments left behind. And then there's all these infographics going around that will show all of the vehicles and aircraft and stuff we gave the ANA as if like that's what the Taliban got. But like, number one, a lot of that stuff was destroyed. A lot of that stuff, when the ANA collapsed, they took it to Uzbekistan or I think Tajikistan. They took it outside of the country. It's not there anymore.
Yeah.
They did get some aircraft, including some helicopters, and there's video that seems to be legitimate of them flying in a Black Hawk helicopter. There's also false video that they claim is them like hanging people from helicopters that, as far as I know, has been debunked. They do have some air assets now. Like, that's for sure.
And surveillance stuff, mm-hmm. you know, specifically, I can't remember what the system's called, but stuff that we brought there and technology we created over the course of this war to, you know, track and surveil people and find out who's affiliated with, you know, the Taliban and who's on. It's a database also of information that the Taliban can use to find
the bioelectric. Well, because we had these, it's this bad security state bad idea that you see all the time where it's like, okay, well, we just want to have everyone registered in a thing biometrically. Oops, we lost it and they have it. And now they have an easy way to find everybody who worked with us. Like, yeah,
But what if you, so what if you do it again, but you like make it a little bit more secure?
Yeah, that'll work. Right? It almost worked this time, Cody. That close. Super close.
Well, if it was just a little more secure, it wouldn't happen.
Speaking of biometrics.
Is that our transition to an ad?
Would love information about your body.
I would like to buy biometrics, right?
Is that exactly. Exactly.
Oh,
listen
boy.
To these Look, ads.
Nice. Listen.
Find their email addresses and then send them pictures of your body. That's what all of our sponsors request.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
All right. We're back.
We are back. Before we transition to talking about other things, well, Robert, did you have anything else to say about Afghanistan?
I think, yeah, one of the funny things was there were a couple of different comments about all the gear the Taliban were getting. One was that, you know, without the spare parts to supply it, they would be fucked, which is, I mean, partially true. Some of the equipment, like the Chinooks that they got, are famously terrible aircraft that I do not think they will be using long because they're not worth it and the maintenance is a nightmare. But other stuff like the Blackhawks, like, they'll find a way. There's a lot of spare parts already in Afghanistan. There's ways to get it fabricated. What was funniest was, like, the people who were insistent, like, oh, they'll never figure out how to fly these helicopters and stuff without training. And I was like, no, they've got YouTube. Like, you can figure anything out with the internet. And they sure did. They're up in the air. I mean, probably they had some ANA guys who, you know, had flipped to the Taliban and gotten training, but it's not, you can learn how to do anything is the point of it. Like, all of this equipment we left behind, none of it's people that complicated,
stupid.
You know,
they don't need the manual to have someone that can figure it out.
Have you ever gone drinking with soldiers? They're dumb as shit, and they figure it out. Obviously, the Taliban would. All military weaponry is made to be utilized by people who are the kind of folks who get blackout drunk at a bar named Skeeter's and buy a fucking Dodge Charger at 35% APR. Like, and they can manage it. It's fine.
That's so specific, Robert. Like, tell me this about this experience you definitely had yourself.
Yeah. Without telling me that you definitely had it yourself.
Look,
Robert,
if the Iraqi army can master this stuff, the Taliban
can.
Well,
right. I mean, like, things are made to be easy to use. You're at war.
You're at war. You don't have time. It's like, it's not nuclear science. It's going boom, boom.
Yeah,
pushing buttons.
You want to point and shoot. You want to go there. Go there, shoot.
I mean,
that.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of them will die in helicopter crashes, but so do a lot of U.S. soldiers. Mm. Like, our helicopters crash all the time.
It's one of the things they do. They shouldn't be in the air.
Don't get in the helicopter.
It's defying God.
We do have other stuff to talk about, but one last question that you probably won't have an answer to. But maybe have insight, because this is sticking with me right now. Obviously, the Biden just did his speech, and I jokingly said this at the beginning of this conversation, but he's announced that 90% of American citizens who wanted to leave did leave. And, you know, there's some fuzzy math about how many that means left behind, but he's saying 100 to 200, which, okay, I guess is the 10%. Regardless, he's saying they still can leave if they want to. But then I'm hearing other reports of, no, this is it. You know, if you haven't left, this isn't, you're not going to. I just was curious if you had any thoughts on that. Like, is that even possible? Like, what would you that require? We're not coming in there to evacuate any more people.
Yeah, I mean, what do you? I don't know. Like, it's kind of silly because it's like if I were to take a bunch of people's kids to a grocery store and then come back and say 90% of them made it back,
right?
I would be in prison.
You have done a bad job.
But the president's not a dad, so who can say if anything wrong was done? You know,
he is a dad.
Who can say? I don't know.
I feel like somebody could say, but
I'm not expecting anybody to have information or answers on this. It's just stuck with me.
It's all bad and fucked up. And, like, I don't know. One of the frustrating things is I don't want to not hold Joe Biden's feet to the fire on this because a lot of this was a disaster, but also, like, it's been a disaster since day one. And it's very frustrating that, like, after 20 years of war, all of the shade is going on this guy for, like, not getting everyone out and, like, all of these different fuck-ups and, like, and now people give a shit that we killed a bunch of kids in an airstrike, which is horrible. So I was like, yeah, we've been doing that for 20 fucking years. Where were you?
Yeah. What were you?
And if you've been angry for 20 straight years, great. I'm angry mainly about, like, the mainstream media discourse around it. It's like, oh, now you guys care that U.S. soldiers are dying in Afghanistan. Yeah. Now you guys give a shit that kids are getting killed by our missiles. Yeah. Okay.
I first off, completely agree with you. Yeah. I also feel frustrated that whenever you say, like, wait a minute, there's a problem with how this has been going. I have a problem with what's happening. I also feel like immediately there's a faction of people that are defending Biden saying
absolutely fuck
all of this stuff. And I'm saying, like, both things are true. Just because I'm criticizing how he has handled this does not mean that I am trying to make a case that Biden is to blame for everything that's happened. It's both things are true. So there's this whole contingency of people online that feel the need to go out of their way to say my president has been doing X, Y, Z, and my president is the only president, you know, that has done this. And you're like, well, have some nuance here. It's not a this side, that side. I mean, we have been saying this same kind of argument for the last few weeks as this has been unfolding, of course, but it frustrates me continuously.
Yeah.
Anyway, mini rant.
Shameless plug. We have an episode of Somewhere News out today about this exact thing, and who is, quote, to blame. And spoilers, it's every president.
It's every single one of them.
We touched on this last week on here, I believe, when we talked about this, all those cigar reports. And it's just so extensive, and it's been going on for so many years, and every step of the way, every single president had access to information saying that it was bad. We were doing a bad job. We're failing continuously. And nothing changed. And, you have, like, people upset now. It's like, well, aren't you championing, like, the drone program in general, like, 5 years ago, 7 years ago? You can say Biden didn't do a good job here, but you can also say that about literally every president. Maybe all of them should go to prison.
Maybe.
Or hand them over to the Taliban. See what happens.
See what happens.
Decide for themselves what their punishment will be. Let's move on to other topics, shall we?
I love other topics.
We're going to talk about the California recall for a little bit. It's getting hot in here, guys. Did you know that we have the easiest state to recall a governor?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Real nice.
Yeah, I remember Schwarzenegger.
Fun little perk of being a Californian. Yes. Yeah. It's actually true that I believe every governor has had a recall attempt here, but Gray Davis was the only one where it actually succeeded, famously by Arnold Schwarzenegger. So yes, it can happen here.
Shout out.
This whole thing is so fucking dumb. We have talked about this, but it's very important. Literally as soon as he was elected, recall attempts began. You know, they were always going to begin. And it didn't really get much traction until the pandemic. And look, I'm not sitting here making a case for Gavin Newsom. I think he has been.
We love Gavin Newsom. He's a great governor. We love him.
Milk toast at best, you know. But yeah, sucks. Sucks you get to deal with COVID in the middle of your term.
Could have done a better job. Sucks that you had to do a good job.
You guys, I still want to know how he got access to all that hair gel when nothing was available in the middle of the pandemic, because his hair always was just...
I mean...
Oh, stockpile. He stockpiled it. He stockpiled crates and crates back when he was with Guilfoyle, right?
Oh, God.
They bathed in that shit.
I don't think there was ever a shortage of hair gel, because that is not a hot ticket right now. Anyway.
Fair enough.
Also, you don't know it was hair gel. It could have been hand sanitizer.
Could have been.
Yep.
Could have been honey. I don't know. Anyway.
Not important.
Gained traction during the pandemic. And this is interesting. I guess at some point a judge ordered that, I believe they get 3 or 4 extra weeks to gain signatures. You know, since the pandemic had hindered their petitioning, it's only fair. And who knows what would have happened. But then Gavin Newsom, during those extra weeks, was spotted having his infamous unmasked French Laundry birthday dinner in San Francisco, mm-hmm. and it really pissed people off. French Laundry is like the most expensive of restaurants where you can never get reservations, and there he was being unmasked in the middle of this big surge. And it really, it pissed people off. It did. It pissed conservatives and liberals off. And after that, it really picked up steam and they amassed enough signatures to, you know, trigger it. Yeah. So really it is a series of unlucky breaks, but also he hasn't been a great governor. So
he's a shit governor.
Like a lot of loyalty. but at the same time, the opposite would be disastrous. And we are in a very precarious situation.
It's this horrible situation that we keep being in that I get why some people reject electoralism entirely, where you're like, well, we've got this guy who completely botched the pandemic response, who continues to botch the pandemic response, who's been a shit governor, who's continuing to allow hydraulic fracking and fucking up the fire response and making
over and over,
you know,
again.
Yeah. But the alternative is a knife wielding psychopath who wants to stab every single Californian in the dick. So I guess
anti-woman,
we have to go.
We'll get to that real quick. So this is a precarious situation, just so everyone understands. If the no votes do not pass the 50% threshold, then one of the like 40 fucking candidates that are running on the ballot, just one of them has to get a majority. And
how much is a majority, Katie? It's only like 20%. Yeah.
I think it might be 16. Oh, I don't have it actually written down, but yeah. And this is allowed. This is allowed. Also, Gavin Newsom is not one of the candidates on that ballot. Which I don't know, maybe the legality he wouldn't be, but part of me is like, shouldn't we at least put him on there? Like, if you, because if people have something else to vote for. Yeah.
So, like, we recall him and they're like, ah, let's put him back in.
Well, like, okay, so here's part of the thing that people have seen. I mean, I've been saying this all along, but a lot of people pushed back at me. so I shut up for a minute, but now more people are saying I do not know why. I mean, I do know why. I know why. The strategy from the governor has been just vote no. And once you vote no, do not choose a replacement, which seems
classic Democrat
so
shit.
Unbelievable.
Make no backup plans.
Well, okay. So here's
admit
the reason.
No possibility.
It's not even
that
like a
flawed.
Backup plan. It's a plan.
No, this
like,
is because,
it's a plan.
It's just a plan.
Well, I just need to say that it's a calculation because when Governor Gray Davis was recalled in the postmortem, they concluded that having the Lieutenant Governor Cruz Bustamante, the then Lieutenant Governor, on the ballot as a backup confused all the voters. You know, that is why not enough people voted no and picked Cruz Bustamante. So that's the theory, the working theory that they took. Instead of saying, like, no, let's just be really clear with our language. Cody's raising his hand. This is an audio format, so I had to say it.
Thank you. I just, this is so, like, and I feel like we've said this before on every podcast that exists. One of the key elements and features that you want out of a leader is communication. That's the thing that leaders should be able to do.
Right.
So if that is the case, the solution is to communicate better so that people are not confused. If the problem is people are confused by this, the solution is communicate to them.
Right.
And make it not confusing.
And I mean, look, I fucking hope that they were right. You know, but sure. Like, I don't believe that they are. I think it feels very anti-democratic to say no, and I refuse to choose another pick. Because now the situation is very likely that if it passes, which, by the way, that's the other part of this. Yes, obviously California is a Democrat state. We are liberal, essentially. But there are huge pockets. There's a big contingency of Trump supporters, of conservatives. And they are the people that care about this. Meanwhile, Gavin Newsom, again, not exactly a leader who inspires loyalty during a pandemic when everyone's exhausted and, you know, they're not even like hammering home the importance of what's at stake here. So there's a very, very high, we know that voter turnout in general will be low, except for within the people that care very much about this. So right now, it's literally neck and neck. And it's a bad situation because the person who is in the front, who's the front runner, is Larry Elder. He is a known conservative radio personality in California for decades. Mm-hmm. With a series of abuse and anti-climate change, you know, anti-women, anti-science.
Anti-vax.
And this right here is perhaps, even outside of the state of California, the thing that everybody needs to pay attention to. Why everybody needs to be paying attention to this is that Dianne Feinstein is on death's door. I don't know if that's true, but she is like senile. She's old.
Lots of rumors about her not doing well.
Yes, I'm getting to that. She's retiring potentially even. She might decide to retire or she might die at any moment. In that case, Elder will get to replace her, and that will entirely change our marginal, you know, majority in the Senate.
Yeah, it changes the Senate. Fundamentally changes the Senate.
So this is why this
she's 88 years old.
Yeah, this is why it's important for everybody that's listening. And thank you for hearing us talk about this so much. It's important. It's important to all of us, for all of us. If you have relatives here, if you can do anything, if you can talk to people to get the word out, we need you to do it.
Right. So there's that's
the thing. Like
these
sort of things that like it does affect the nation.
Yeah.
It's not just a California issue.
Biggest economy in the world. Too.
Yeah. And Katie, to your point, there have been lots of discussions about Dianne and rumors of her well-being right now. And you know, we all of us should have PTSD for what happened with RBG. So.
Yeah, and like it's there were articles like a year or two ago about this.
Yeah, and she has a lot left on her term, a long time left on her term.
I just don't like. Why do you want to like die at the office?
Yeah, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you that you cannot see how obvious is it? Is it as simple as? You guys remember people would like George R. R. Martin had a response because people kept expressing worry that he was going to die before he could finish the books. And his response was basically like, fuck you, which was fair because it was people being worried about like whether or not a book would get done. We're talking about like a man with a family and like very fair response from George R. R. Martin, who does not hold any of our lives in his hands. It is, in fact, a fair response to ask of people like Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And in this case, because Breyer. It's like, if you die in office or in the wrong time, it will negatively affect the lives of potentially billions of people in terms of certain things. So get the fuck out. But I think they just get angry
get
at like,
out.
Well, you're saying I'm going to die. Like, I'm not going to die now. I'm going to like, I've got more time. I'm not out. Like, it's this. I think it might be as simple as like this very human anger at the thought of your own mortality.
100%. Yeah. I 100% think
which is that why it should be illegal to be that old in an office.
I definitely agree. I think that people have a fear of their own mortality and of, you know, their legacy and control, and I think it absolutely is people holding on for dear life to their dear life.
Yeah, Yeah, because you don't want to face that, even though it's a fact
but
of
I'm
life.
But I'm sorry.
And like maybe like you don't want your legacy I'm to be sorry. That you held on to power until the last minute, died in office, and then were replaced by Larry Elder.
Yeah, I want to touch on something Katie said again, because Katie mentioned like it just seems very like lackadaisical, the approach coming from the Democratic Party. And it's like, yeah, I mean, most people really are not that keyed in on this. And there's not, like spending, yes. Katie mentioned that Newsom's spending more than any other candidate. But like, I really feel like I haven't seen much besides from like, and which is why we're talking about it so much, because we're not seeing
well,
enough.
I say that as part of the second part of my point is like, yes, Gavin Newsom is outspending the other candidates, but Larry Elder, again,
is out campaigning.
A very known, come on, he's no, I mean, he's a, I don't know the data or what he's spending. I'm saying that he's a conservative radio host.
He's a name
that is a
that
beloved,
people know. Yeah.
And, you know,
if you want to
that
know
is campaigning.
About...
That is a campaigning, you know.
Yeah.
I want to know something about Larry Elder. Larry Elder is the guy who allegedly convinced Dave Rubin that systemic racism doesn't exist.
Dope.
You can
was
watch
it? I think Prager University. I believe Dennis Prager is involved with him somehow too.
There's no. I mean, yeah. I would be surprised if Larry Elder isn't in a PragerU video.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's buddies with Dennis Prager, and Dennis Prager helped Elder get his first job in radio.
Hell yeah!
Love.
Cool. There you go. There's that. We need to take another break.
Okay. Yeah. he does, in fact, have many PragerU videos, of course. Okay, bye.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Well, we're back.
Yeah.
It's true.
And
bigger
Cody,
than the bread box.
Cody was just freestyling an epic rap that explains how to solve the California recall problem. Cody, do you want to just roll back in? I'll give you a beat.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. My name is Dennis Prager, and here's what you got to do. Recall Newsom, please.
Woo-woo!
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Sincerely, Dennis Prager.
Nailed it.
I hated that. So
well, that's going to do it for Here of Us.
Oh, we did it!
Worst year ever.
Wait, did we just come back from a break to end the episode?
One thing, actually.
To freestyle, Katie.
Yeah, yeah. We ended on, I believe, what they call a bang, okay? We ended on a bang.
We ended on a banger.
We ended on a banger. We ended with a bang, is what it would be.
We ended with a banger that I think is going to get Cody his second British Video Music Award.
Thank you. There's room on the shelf. Just waiting, collecting dust. I need to put the second one up there.
Room on the shelf next to your half of an Emmy.
Yeah.
That you took from John Krasinski when you broke into his house that one night.
That's right. And I'm going to get the other half one day.
One day.
Watch out,
Kras. You had
so
much space in your fanny pack.
Watch
so
your back,
you had to slice it in half to fit it in with your saw.
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't prepare that much, but I prepared enough to know to bring a saw and have a bag, and I improvised.
Yeah, you got half of John Krasinski's Emmy.
The good
and
half.
He got all of the money for your idea.
That's right.
Win-win.
John Krasinski.
Quiet Place 2. We're talking about Quiet Place 2.
Is he still alive? Not Quiet Place 1. Cody had nothing to do with that.
No. But I had a great idea for a sequel.
But you were 100% of a Quiet Place 2.
Just a little quieter is my
A Quiet Place 2.
And I believe you pitched that idea to John by driving past his house and shushing in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Which, yeah.
And
over a loudspeaker, but
I saw the light turn on in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. So he definitely heard it.
He
and
definitely
stole
heard
it.
Well, you're a famously loud shusher, Cody. Everybody says that.
That's how I do it.
That's how you do it. That's how you do it. Well, gang, we got anything else to say?
I did want to mention this earlier when we were talking about the $85 billion worth of military equipment that's left for the Taliban. Because earlier today, in talking about hurricane damage, in Louisiana, Representative Clay Higgins said, and I quote, "Let me tell you what would be a good start for the people of Louisiana. $85 billion worth of military equipment that was left behind in Afghanistan."
God.
I just think that's just like a fucking incredible piece of art.
Couple of strikers would have really helped out.
Just like,
yeah,
like for so many reasons, aside from the fact that we already talked about, like, that's not really accurate. And like, come on, man. Mm. I don't know if that would help them actually.
Yeah. I can imagine people trying to flee the hurricane wondering, God, if only I had a gigantic gas guzzling vehicle that gets less than a mile per gallon and breaks down every 45 minutes because it was specifically made in order to be endlessly profitable for a fucking contractor. Yeah. If only
the people of Louisiana,
like, talk to a single U.S. troop about how much they love their equipment challenge. Spoilers. Mm. All of our vehicles are annoying pieces of shit.
Interesting.
Fucking Strikers and MRAPs and like Humvees, good God. The fucking Chinook, better at killing U.S. Marines than any Taliban strike. incredible at killing U.S. Marines. The Chinook, real VIP of the war against U.S. imperialism. If only we could have killed so many citizens of Louisiana if we'd had more Chinooks.
If we had more, we would have... we could blame it on that instead of the hurricane.
Instead of the fucking... Which also, one of the big stories of the hurricane is that the massive amount of, like, levee reconstruction and shit that New Orleans did in the year since Katrina saved countless lives and stopped massive flooding, and was a highly successful example of how government funding going towards rebuilding efforts and going towards improvement of infrastructure can yield incalculable benefits.
Yeah, it's stuff like that that's it's like heartening and disheartening because we're still like we don't take that lesson and go, oh, we should do that like way more. We talked about briefly about like, you know, remember the ozone? I don't know if people listening to remember the ozone and how there's
ozone. There was that episode of Rocco's Modern Life about it.
Exactly. Sure, RECYCLE recycle and so on and so forth. We were like, there's a hole in the ozone. We gotta sew that shit up. And so we did that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was done. And we did that. It's like a thing we accomplished because we decided to do it. And it was slightly before our absolute hellscape of politics instead of the previous, like, mild hellscape of politics. And this is another example of like, well, we needed to do this thing to prevent other things. And so we decided to, and we did it. And we can do this more, way more. And now, like, and we're stuck with these, like, New York Times ran this article, like, as a preview of future hurricanes, Ida is very scary. Yeah, like, as a preview of, like, now, as what's going on now. Like,
it's not really every hurricane before was also literally happened.
Like, in 2021, doing, like, this is a sign of bad things to come. Yeah.
Also, I just need to point out that we do not know the extent of the damage at this point in time. We do not know just how many people died. But it is, yes, a success in that the levees held, and we did learn and from
there's
from
a bunch
last
of failures.
Time,
the success specifically is
failures.
In infrastructure.
But I will point out something, which is... this was a stronger hurricane, but it had more of like wind force. But for whatever reason, that is beyond me. I'm no science gal, you know. It brought less water. It is actually very terrifying because the severity of the pendulum swing, you know, how quickly it changes, is increasing, and these. The wind from this was much stronger. So, you know, yes, levees held. Also, there was less water, but bigger winds. All these roofs getting torn off. Anyway, I agree with all those things that you guys said.
Yeah. Let's build more stuff to help people in the future and maybe not make them like military equipment.
I mean, and as with every disaster, a decent chunk of the relief effort has been... just citizens dealing shit. The Cajun Navy has pulled a lot of people out of bad situations without, you know, help from the government. Yeah. I just wanted to do a shout out to the Cajun Navy and kind of citizen relief efforts to pull people out of bad situations, which was a big part of what happened at Hurricane Katrina last time, and a big mitigating factor in a lot of the awfulness.
And it's going to be the case, forever. Rely on each other, because I don't know. It seems like a lot of our representatives think that military equipment would help in a hurricane. So
it doesn't, and we're not. You know, I'm sure at some point we will sit down and talk about kind of the shortcomings in the government response to this hurricane, and maybe even where they did well. But it's ongoing right now, and I don't think we know enough about.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot to say other than like we should be.
It seems good that we rebuilt those levees. Well,
Seems good.
Yes, we should probably do more stuff like that.
What if we spent like maybe like $1 to $3.5 trillion on infrastructure?
Well, where would we get that money, Cody? Do you have some sort of time machine to take us back to before we spent $3-ish trillion in Afghanistan?
All I can say is that I fixed it, and I do. Oh, no, it didn't work for some reason. That's weird.
Oh, it's because Sophie wouldn't listen to your time machine noises. Sophie, you've doomed the United States because you didn't want to listen to Cody make time machine noises.
And you're just shrugging it off?
I know. Americans listening, if you ever look out into the world and say, damn the war on terror, remember that Sophie is what stopped Cody from ending it retroactively in the past.
But save,
end of episode.
And that's the news
Katie
right there.
From hearing that noise.
I just took my headphones off.
See, the reality of the situation is that Cody is the opposite of Donald Rumsfeld in 2001, just in 2001. And so if he were to have made physical contact with Donald Rumsfeld in 2001, it would have set off a cascade reaction, rebuilding the Twin Towers.
Exactly.
And thus there would have been no war on terror.
Yeah, I harness the energy. I'm the anti-energy. Although I would say I'm the opposite of Donald Rumsfeld in 2021 because I'm alive.
All right. So, that's a good note to end an episode on.
Follow us at First Year Pod. Bye. Everybody. Bye.
I tried.
Yes.
Daniel?
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.